Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squid Billy, Dylon on the ones and twos behind the glass, man. It is 8:05 a.m. At some point today, we are going to be talking about the NFL schedule release. International games are coming out at some point, probably in the next hour or two on the NFL Network. We'll keep you guys glued in for that. It is time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929 or at 929 Morning Shift. Squid Billy just rattled off his top five pass rushing duos of all time. He also threw in an honorable mention. We won't bring that up. There's a couple of nuances and caveats, though. You know, as always, like, he doesn't like to point out, Allie, the fact that there is, you know, subcategories and there's, you
know. That's a subcategory to a pass rush duo.
Well, you have to look at how long do they play together. Is it just all about sack totals? Does championships matter? I don't know. You know, there's like a number of different, who else was playing on defense with
how much money did they make in endorsements?
Well, I didn't assume that was coming up. That was a premature boom on my part. I was like, boom, wait, what? That caught me off guard.
I mean, well, let's see. Taylor and Marshall had two titles together. Freeney and Mathis had one together. Bennett and Bruce, they played for some Super Bowls.
Yeah, they played, that's the one I was like, I mean, number of different pieces going on with that one.
You know, Neil Smith and Derek Thomas never got that, but they had a.
Well, that was what I said. They had six playoff appearances with four different quarterbacks.
Yeah, Joe Montana was one of those.
That's crazy.
How about that? Remember that? 93-94?
No, I don't. I was like in kindergarten, but it's all good.
Well, I do.
I know. You're a little bit longer in the tooth than most. It is what it is.
And most.
Allie, you said we got a tweet.
We did about Top 5 Tuesday about Bo, your list. Daniel Greco said, yes, number 95, Greg Lloyd was Miss Brett Favre, said this was the person who hit him the hardest ever. Kevin Green and the hair he would not cut until he made a Super Bowl. Great choice.
I just remember Kevin Green. First of all, he's an Auburn guy. But I just remember him more as a wrestler. I know that's like ridiculous because he was a great football player.
So do you – now – rest in peace. Steve Mongo McMichael, did you not remember him?
Yeah, no. Like, but the memories I have of these guys was like from NFL films. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I was sitting down, like, you know, at that age and being like, oh, I can't wait to see all these guys. Like, you know, Derek Thomas and these guys. Like, yeah, I remember watching the slow-mo, me having the VHS tape of sticking it in and watching the highlights from said season. But it's not, you know, it's not one of those things that's a live memory like some of the other guys.
And the reason I put Lloyd and Kevin Green on there was because the Steelers were on TV like every freaking week, it felt like, when I was growing up as a kid on CBS. Yeah. And I hated the Steelers. But I watched those two play, and I remember as a kid, they kind of put a little bit of fear in me because they looked mean, they played mean, and they were intimidating.
Yeah. I think when you even started by saying Steelers, I was like, is he going to try to pair somebody up with James Harrison, which Lamar Woodley would be that guy? But I don't know that they belong in a top five.
You could literally go Highsmith and Watt right now before you.
That's
I would
true.
Go with those.
Yeah, that's actually fair. And we saw both those guys live and in color week one last year over here. So, yeah, I mean, I think you missed on a couple. I was shocked that you didn't have any of the Giants, you know, NASCAR package in there because there were so many different combinations you could have gone with at that point, the Strahans. The Pierre Pauls, the Kiwanukas, the Tux. There's like, but again, like that was like an entire defense. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me.
The pairing is like, I don't even know which one you pick out of the five or six of those guys.
We never, and I know Allie's got some guys on some duos for us, but that was the thing for me is like, I thought about the Giants and I was like, yeah, but what did we always talk about? Oh, the NASCAR package where they had essentially four, what would be in a lot of defenses, four edge rushers.
Yes.
On that line.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
And so it just, to me, was like, that's not a duo. That's a foursome. And I can't go back to the days where they didn't keep sacks because, like, I know the Deacon Jones of the world, but, they didn't keep sacks to what, 82? I don't know how I do. I don't know. So I went with what I saw and what I knew.
Well, and you're going to have to defend not putting on Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware
on there.
Okay.
Of course.
I will.
There is a little, and I think people use the term recency bias. This is anti-recency bias.
Okay, it's not anti-recency.
Yeah.
They never had
phone lines, by the way.
They never had more than 24 sacks in a season. They did only play 3 years together where they had 60 sacks combined, so they would actually be better than my nostalgic pick. But that said, they didn't have a season that was better than any of the guys. Well, remember, the best season was 33, 32 and a half. They did have a better year than Bennett and Smith, but they did it together longer, and that was my thing. So That was all. And those guys were good together. They were.
Okay, what about Richard Dent and Dan Hampton?
Well, yeah.
That is a phenomenal one. And they put a lot of sacks together. They were all and they were also on the greatest defense of all time. However, I didn't really watch them play. To me, they were a little bit before.
Okay.
And that was one that the Bears was brought up when I did go over my list and get, you know, ridiculed and criticized by Arch. The Bears is one that brought up. So yeah,
I got a couple more.
That's a good one, Allie. It's a very good one.
I'm curious. I got a couple more, but I want to get to the phone lines. We got full phone lines. Appreciate you guys calling in. Let's see if any of these guys have the ones that I think we might be missing. Let's go to Keith in Paulding County. Keith, what's going on? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm first in relation. I'm a proud member of Squid Nation, calling from Paulding County.
Yes, sir.
And Squid, perfect list. I'm gonna add a little caveat. What? I called in last week about breaking my ankle when I was for the football team.
Yeah.
And this is about Greg Lord. When I was in high school, going into my junior year, we had a guy named Stanley Marshall. He was like our Deion Sanders. He was All-American, everything. But anyway, he went to Fort Valley State, and he was at a hitting drill. Now, this is what the story told me. He was at a hitting drill with Greg Lord. They said Greg Lord hit him so hard that he stopped playing football and joined the band. I realized that was a special dude.
Appreciate the call, Keith, and we'll forgive you for the whole Squid Nation thing.
Well, we'll celebrate him.
I tell you what, Dylan, let's go ahead and get our buddy Larry in the truck. Larry, we got to go quick, man. What's going on this morning?
Everything is good. I got to go with before. I think it is. You mentioned it recently, Bias. I think Too Tall Jones and Harvey Martin, you got to throw them in there. Yeah. Somebody said something about the people with the Steelers, which also were good, but also Cedric Hartman from the 49ers, and there was a duo that got 30 sacks one season, and then the 49ers had broke a record with 61 sacks that year.
Mm.
So I think they weren't really keeping track of it, but I think there were some people that had just as many that were – really good in the time that I watch him. Yeah. You guys know who I root for. So
Yeah. Thank
you for taking my call. And Bo, you did. I think this was a good list, though, Bo. I can't really argue with you.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Appreciate the phone call, Larry. As always,
and
stay safe out there in the
Larry truck. Brings up a great point. There were guys that were dominant pass rushers, but they just didn't keep the stat enough, so it's hard to kind of go back and look.
It's hard to really capture the moment that was. All right, Dylan, let's go back out to the phone lines. Let's get to our buddy Chief over in South Fulton. Chief, you're on the morning shift, man. What's going on?
What's happening? Michael P. Johnson, and the P stands for player hater. Look here. You hating on, hey, Tribal Chief, great list, but my question for Allie Mack this morning, real quick. Allie Mack, as a kid, I was afraid of flying monkeys, so I didn't watch The Wizard of Oz that much. As a kid, Miss Mack, what was you afraid of as a kid that you're still afraid of as an adult?
Yeah, appreciate the phone call, Chief. Appreciate the phone call. I always love when Chief says, I hang up and listen.
I would think roller coasters. Roller coasters. Yeah.
Really?
I'm afraid of them, and I even have tried, like, in adulthood to go back and get on a roller coaster. I still can't do it. I hate it. I wish I could.
Yeah. Are you sure we can't, like, doing like the Scream Machine or something?
Do you know how many times on the radio this has been a bit to put me on a roller coaster? We're not doing it.
Yeah. I wish I could ride him too. Why are you? It's not for fear.
I hate the G-force feeling. I hate that feeling in your stomach.
Mm. Oh, I love that.
My 4-year-old rode all the roller coasters at Disney World, and he was fine.
Well, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Good for him.
He's also tall enough, which most 4-year-olds are not.
I was going to say, past the height requirement.
Yeah.
Let's try to get to one more call. Let's go over to our buddy James over in College Park. James, good morning, man. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. Real quick, just wanted to say I caught the show a little late this morning, but I do know Bo put him on there, and I believe it should have been either one or two. And there's Mathis and Freeman. And don't forget, I'm a member of the nation. Hashtag Squid Nation.
Appreciate you.
James, I regret fitting you in.
I don't. I am so glad we did. I mean, look. See, this is what happens. When I do a list, it's just kudos. When you do a list, you know, you embarrass yourself. You know, so
there's nuance and caveat.
Dylan?
I got to agree with Bo here, Mike. I mean, Bo has gotten a resounding review.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 stars, it seems like, for the most part.
Screening the calls back there. Who knows if you're putting them over?
I'm not. I promise. I took every call, equal opportunity callers.
I would say we'd go back to the lines, but I don't want to risk it. It's just kidding. We're just getting deeper into the water here.
Dylan has no reason to defend me. I mean, I'm very open. I come at him when he makes a mistake. He has no reason to defend me.
All right, man, we got to go to break here.
Of course we do. We got to get out of here because my list is perfect.
Yeah. Sure. Sure, man. Mm-hmm. Whatever you got to continue to think about yourself to continue to on that trajectory. If you didn't miss our argument earlier about light speed, you'll want to make sure you check that out at 929 Morning Shift. Thank you so much for everybody weighing in. We come back on the other side of the break. We broke into this conversation earlier. How can the Falcons' run game and the offensive line be more explosive? You don't want to miss the comments from Dwayne Ledford this past weekend. We'll also keep you up to date on any of the latest announcements on the schedule release. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, The Morning Shift. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, carrying us around in your car on the Odyssey app. It's been a fun show so far. A lot of talk about, look, man, space, time travel, dinosaurs, things like that.
Yeah.
You know? Never know what you're going to get today, here on The Morning Shift.
I think today has proved that I'm probably the smartest person on the show.
I know you think that. Today is definitely proven that you think that.
You know, Dylan,
you at least make the best list.
And you know what's right now? You know the ironic part about it, Dylan, is that he was like, oh, it's hate guys like Neil deGrasse Tyson. They think they're the smartest guy in the room.
That's so true.
It's like, where is the self-awareness? You might be the smartest guy in the room, but self-awareness is not a strength, okay?
Stop taking notes, Allie. I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, that recap's going to be thick with it in the morning.
She's just going to butt him up like, I don't like guys who are the smartest guy in the room. Look, I think today's proved I'm the smartest guy in the room.
Hey, before we get to this Falcons conversation, I got to ask you guys something. My wife and I had a back and forth yesterday, and we were talking about screen time for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, iPads, whatever else comes along with it. We're both usually pretty much on the same. She is like anti-screen time, period. I'm like, you know what, when we're winding down at night, I don't mind them watching a show or whatever.
Well, of course you won't do that. She's out living her life, and you're at home. So, I mean, I agree with her. You should be putting in more work.
That's me. here's what I'm going to say, though. She, at one point, throws it at me. She goes, I mean, when they're 15, you're going to want to put, like, a TV in the room.
15?
Oh.
Okay. No.
Okay. That's when I was like, okay, I think I'm pretty sure I had a TV in my room when I was 15.
I'm pretty
like,
sure
in
I
my bedroom.
I had, again, I'm older, but like I had the TV with the bunny ears that was black and white when I was like.
I definitely
eight
had a tube TV. Yes,
nine.
I had a rear projection.
Yeah. What's wrong
tube
with that?
TV.
What's the big deal?
She doesn't think there should ever be a TV in our kids' room.
I wanted.
And I was kind of startled by that, but she acted like I was crazy.
No,
and now I'm
you're
curious
not
if y'all ever had a TV in your room when you were kids.
100% had a TV in my room, but I will say my parents have gone on record to say it was probably their number one regret to let all of us have our TV in our room because then we wouldn't all come out and watch TV together.
Yeah.
Or do something together.
Yeah, okay. And I know that there are some people that don't believe in televisions in the bedroom. And, like, as adults, like, as a married couple, that, you know.
Well, no, we do. But, see.
Dylan's carrying his around to make sure it happens.
We didn't have a TV that was going to get the channels to watch. Like, we could only pick up, like, a couple of channels in the TVs in our room. They were mainly
for. You had to turn the knobs.
Yes. Yeah, no, yeah. And they were, and it was, and then when we got one that was color, it was like a hand-me-down, and it was literally for video games.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good point.
I tried to put a TV in the nursery already, and I got shot down.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
But it.
Oh, I was just going to say, I had a TV in my room as well at a very young age. It felt like, since I can remember, I always had a TV in my room. But I will say on the flip side, because I have seen both sides of it, Simone grew up her whole life. And, I mean, they're still in her mom's house back home. She doesn't have a TV in her room there. And that's how they grew up. They didn't even have cable.
Wow. It's not really even
anymore,
a debate, though, because by the time your son is 15, he's probably going to have an iPad from school. So TV accessible.
He already has an iPad.
Right. So there's other screens.
Use it in the car on trips.
You don't need, like, the traditional TV. You've got screens around
you. The conversation now is when do they get a phone, I think. Yeah. That's the bigger conversation now is when do they get a phone.
I think you got to be I don't know. There's too many people listening. I don't want anybody think I'm judging, but I think phones need to
Well,
need to be a certain
again,
age.
The phones a lot of times now I think are more for the parents. Like they can, hey, tell me when to pick you up, tell me where you're at, tell me where to locate, like that. There's a lot of things pro parent with having a phone that you have to just keep strict regulations on it, I think, if they have one.
Yeah, my neighbor has the iTag on his daughter's phones. He also, though, has he has limits on their apps. And
have to.
He has certain apps just to follow what they're posting. Now, you can't – but if you have the internet thing, the Wi-Fi blocker on what they're viewing, I guess. Yeah. But, yeah, that's – dude, it's so many – there's so many ways they can get your kids these days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There definitely is, man. It's an interesting conversation. And look, man, I could go on for hours about this, but we are going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, I was going to say, that's why I'm raising pork chop Amish. She'll be churning butter soon.
Orthodox? Yeah, okay. No, look, man, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. We brought this up earlier. We were talking about Dwayne Ledford, the offensive line coach for the Atlanta Falcons. How many years has D-Led been here? Is it five now?
Yeah, he came in with Arthur, so this will be year five.
Year five for him. And look, I think we talked a little bit about earlier about, you know, the culture in the offensive line room. He also, guys, talked a little bit about continuity.
Continuity is key, and when you can bring as many guys back as you can, it's definitely a comfort, but it's also exciting because, like, all the things you're talking about and working on, you know, you're just ready to take that next step. Because it's always about, like, just what's that next step for this group and just enjoying that process with it. And then next week, finally getting to get on the grass with these guys, just super excited about it. We have a great room, and I can't wait to get back to work with them.
He just sounds like an O-line coach, doesn't he? We have a great room. And I can't wait to get back to work. But, like, he just sounds like an offensive line coach. And I love him talking about the continuity. Guys, we have 4.5 returning starters. 4.5 returning starters, no matter how you want to slice it, that's the number. I know that people look at Drew Dahlman and say, man, what a big loss. Guy's making $12 million a year, whatever it is in Chicago now. Ryan Newsel started half the games last year.
That is, to me, when I hear people have that Dahlman-Newsel argument and talk about the big loss, I think those are the same people that must be upset that Jalen Walker's wearing 11 because they didn't realize it was worn years before, after Julio. You know, Logan, a third-string quarterback, wore it. You either don't remember or you didn't pay attention to the fact that Newsel started 8 games, which is why Mike's calling him a half a starter from last year. Yeah. And guess what? They had some of their best offensive performances was when Newsel was the center. The 500-yard passing game for Cousins against Tampa Bay on Thursday night, Newsel started.
Yeah.
The game in Tampa a few weeks later where Cousins went off for another 300 yards, Newsel started. In fact, I don't think you brought him back till after the bye week. Yeah. I know you didn't.
Yeah, you didn't. I'm glad you highlighted that because if you look at – we talk about development. And that's a big thing that I always harp on. I saw it with my own two eyes. We talked about Harvey Dahl and Tyson Klebo earlier as being a good pair, right? They didn't really get developed in Atlanta. They signed here as guys that were just off the street. They were free agent signings kind of off the street and guys that had developed elsewhere and grew up to be pretty good players. A guy named Ryan Newsel kind of fits that ideology.
And he's a guy that came in here, and I told all these guys that were here today for the rookie minicamp, came in here as an undrafted free agent, and all he did was he kept working at his craft, kept pounding on it. Now the dude's a starting center in the NFL. And so, like, it's quite a story, but it goes to show you just the work that he's kind of put into it, this level.
The only thing that irritates me with this whole Newsel thing is why he hasn't signed yet. Because the reality of the situation is whatever a team offers him, if I'm not mistaken, the Falcons can sign and match. So I don't know
what's the hang up.
Yeah. And I know that, I mean, listen to how they talk about him.
Exactly. He's like, yeah, he's a starting center in the NFL. Okay. So is he in the locker room?
What are we doing?
I'm with you. We all expect it to happen.
I know this is going to, and check me if you think I'm wrong here, but to me, it's as much on Newsel. Like, dude, get in here and get this work in because it's a good thing.
Well, again, there's not much work going on right now. That is going to ramp up in the very near future, though. So I am waiting for that next kind of piece of news to drop.
As a center, being present, though, is good and being kind of taken on because at times because when you get to the line of scrimmage, you're one of the leaders.
Then. I would say that it's more important than, at this point, for Michael Penix, it's more important than his receivers being there. And of course, that comes from an O-lineman. Al, we've talked about
it
before.
I'm just overflate yourself.
I'm just simply, you just are an offensive lineman. You don't play it. You just kind of are. But I look at it and go, look, if he can't throw the ball to Darnell Mooney and Drake London if he doesn't know where the protection's sliding.
Is that your,
you know what I mean?
Is that your Neil Tyson DeGrasse moment? As an offensive lineman, you don't play it. You just are it.
I do wonder, what do you think the major difference is between O-line and defensive line? Personality wise.
So, man, that's a good question because we've had
this.
How
deep can I go here?
Go deep. You got 2 minutes. Go deep.
It's an and this is perfect because Bo's sitting here and he has this. It's inflated sense of self, I think, on the defensive line. You know, they think very highly of themselves.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's more of a selfish attitude as we, you know, because Bo's the defensive lineman of this group, you know? And I used to tell people this, Allie, and we've done this a number of times on the show. We should probably do this tomorrow. Where I used to, when I'd meet people, I would say what position they were personality wise. When I met them, I'd be like, you know, and Rob Tribble was one of the only people I've ever met that I was like, Rob Tribble's a quarterback.
Why am I the defensive lineman in this group?
No, I don't. I think you were an outside linebacker when we actually did it.
Which now is kind of, you know, the outside linebacker in a lot of defenses is an edge player these days.
Yeah, I think that you weren't, you know, pesky enough to be, you know, that guy that flies up and runs for it from the safety position. You're more of a squatty personality that was going to celebrate when you got your sack. You know what I mean? I just picture Bo coming off the edge doing a sack celebration. He gets the guy on the ground, and it's something like putting paper bills into the air or something, you know, like he's making it rain. Like, I don't know. That just feels like Squidbilly.
I wouldn't do the Halliburton, but I might do the suck it.
What was the – is it Corey Peters used to do the – what was that called? Where he used to lean back, the
almost like a
not the Dougie, but the
you almost did a shimmy there.
Yeah.
I forgot what that was called.
What was that called, man?
Oh man, anyways, I have to look it up. It's on
a blank
tongue
right now. Anyways, we got way off topic. The bottom line is that Ryan Newsel is a guy that plugs right in at center, and we think that the continuity is going to help this group this year. I truly believe that having Ryan Newsel at center after Michael Penix spends time with him last year, he's a guy who got the reps as a starting center. They obviously believe in him very much, and he is a group. As a group, 4.5 returning starters on the offensive line. It's a big deal going into the season. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Atlanta Braves. We're also going to get the rare 840 edition of Mic'd Up. I got a reality story that is going on currently, that is happening right now on social media that you guys have got to pay attention to. I'm going to put y'all on when we come back on the other side of Mic'd Up. Stick with us. The Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Finishing up here on The Morning Shift. Get you guys mic'd up here in just a second. I'm going to put y'all on a ongoing, I don't know. I guess it's a reality show, but it's a social media personality. So what do you call that? Just an ongoing saga, a real-time saga event happening right
influencer
now.
Influencer saga?
Yeah.
Where? Who?
You would know if you'd stop talking to Dylan about the bumper music in my ears. Okay.
Sounds like a rejoin of Three's Company.
We're all doing a show together here. We're gonna get to Braves in just one second. I do want to point out the fact that the Bernie was Corey Peters' sack celebration, where he just leaned back and looked up at the ceiling and gave it the weekend at Bernie's, man.
That's what it was called.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Yeah. I guess that was a song back, I don't know, 15 years ago. But
Daniel Greco just tweeted us, and he was like, he decided to talk about top sack celebrations.
Yeah.
And Gilbert Brown's.
Quite a better list.
Remember Gilbert Brown? Excuse me?
No.
Remember the guy who used to eat the cheeseburgers? Number 93 for the Packers. He played in that Reggie White era of the Packers.
Yeah.
He did the Gravedigger, but he was a big dude, so his whole body would go down, and he would come back up. And that was a really good one.
Jared Allen with the lasso around the where he'd hook, dude, that was the best. I love when Jared, you never wanted to see that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where you just whoop.
Who was it on Christmas Day that got in trouble for like putting presents in Santa's sack?
I know Ezekiel Elliott hopped in the Salvation Army bowl in the end zone and got fined for it, I think, actually. So that was always a good one, but I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. That's pretty cool.
I always, as a younger guy, I love seeing Sean Witherspoon's celebrations.
When you
pull out the spoon and just hold it there for a
second.
Just
made sense.
And now it's been stolen. Like, Ezekiel Elliott did that too. Like, go keep feeding me. It's like, they kept feeding you until you fed your way out of the league, Zeke.
When I was in college, we had guys that would do that celebration. It was everybody eats. Like, everybody's eating. We're all eating. And then, I met Spoon, obviously, and played with him, and that was his thing.
But so. Spoon would literally pull it out of his pants.
It was like a sword.
He was sitting over there, like a sword. And he would pull
pause,
it out.
Pause, by the way, pause. it was a spoon he was pulling out.
He did it over the fictional over spoon. The chalk lines of Robert Griffin III's career. I'm going to miss – you know what? The only thing I'm going to miss – when they get a new stadium in Washington for the Washington football team, is not being able to go to Landover, Maryland and see the chalk lines of Robert Griffin's
the pre-game
body.
Walk.
Yeah, because every time Arch and I walk, I'll be like, there it is.
Last year,
happened.
And we're going to get the Braves. Last year, we went to the rookie dinner that they have every year for the new rookies for the Falcons organization. Spoon was there. It made us go around the room and, you know, all the ex-players talk about what your favorite memory was. And Spoons was like, y'all probably don't know this, but you ever heard of Robert Griffin? He's like, yeah, I hit this man so hard one time. And I stood up and I was like, yes! Yes! Oh, man, that was awesome. Arch loved it, too.
That is so good because, I mean, Spoon is one of my favorite people I've been around since I've worked with
always
the Falcons.
Happy.
And he's always happy. We were on the way. He had already, the 2016 season, people forget, he came back to the team. Came back, played that year, tore his Achilles during that season, and or maybe it was his knee one, but anyways, he gets hurt,
remember.
And we fly to L.A., and we play the Rams, and that was the game that Vic got, like, the three sacks, and the long flight, and it's a late night, obviously, and I remember just standing up for probably, like, 45 minutes on the plane home just talking to Spoon, just reliving memory. He's one of the nicest dudes you'll ever be around.
Yeah, head coach of Pace Academy now. So shout out to him. Hopefully they have a good season coming up. Real quick, let's do the Braves before we get to mic'd up. Allie, look, it is what it is. Sandy just put the tweet out. She said, let's nobody today say the number that comes after 499.
I know.
You have officially already messed that up.
I know. She's out in the bullpen. I'm sorry, Sandy. I'm sorry. I've already jinxed it, but hopefully, you know, the Braves weren't listening and we're all good to go.
And again, I think this is the 500 things, obviously more for fans. You got to turn around and stay above 500. But I think it signals to me if they're able to get back to 500, it signals the, we can put to bed what happened the first week of the season. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say? Like we can put to bed what happened against the Dodgers and the Padres.
I already have.
Okay.
And the reason is because since that start, since you started 0-7, you have been way above there. I did the math. Since you started 0-7, you're 20-14. Okay. Since you started 5-13, you're 15-8. So in other words, you are how you want to look at it, you're 6-7 games over 500 since that 0-7 start. So to me, you've put it behind you. But now what you got to do is for the fans to take to feel like you've turned the corner and you have you've started working on. See, to me, for the fan base, it's been about getting to that number. And once you get back that number, now you can start moving forward.
Yeah,
I think the team's already done that. But for us to look when we look at that division standings and the playoff standings, the wild card, because we're already looking at that. You got to see that number a tick above that number that we're not allowed to say per Ms. Sandra Golden.
I just said it. It is what it is. And that's just how I feel. And I think the thing is, too, there's so many different, I don't know, storylines going on with the Braves.
There are so many things happening. And I think really the theme is this team is scrappy, regardless what's going on.
Great word.
With injuries. Like, I'm just looking at the 2024 roster in October of last year. Do you remember the names like Gio?
Dude.
Right? And Whit Merrifield.
Yes.
We had some, you could say, kind of random players joining us.
Because
we had so many injuries. And that is what's happening right now with the Braves. I mean, Eli White, Verdugo.
Scrappy is such a good word.
Nick Allen. Like, they're all coming together to put this team over.
And I think to your point about them being scrappy, I think that lends itself to the fact there's so many different storylines. And why are there so many storylines? Because they're scrappy. It's like, oh, man, what are we going to do with Rysell? Well, it's kind of a recent problem. Oh, Verdugo's up. Then he's down. Then he's back up. Marcel hasn't hit homer in 3 weeks. All of a sudden, he hits a home run. Like, there's so many different. Add into that Spencer Strider, Ronald Acuna. Heck, we're halfway through the Yerkes and Profar suspension now. I mean, that's another thing to keep an eye on.
What you're doing is you're building depth because you're finding guys who can step in and do the job that you need to when they are asked, when they're called upon, and when they're asked to be a starter. It's the thing all I've heard for 2 years is starting pitching is not good enough, or 3 years actually since the 22 season, it's been starting pitching. Well, I hate to break it to you, but the last two seasons, starting pitching has been pretty good. In fact, I know that Sell got hurt late in the year, but look at what Grant Holmes is now a starting pitcher who's going out and giving you quality starts. Spencer Schwellenbach is essentially replaced. You know, if Sell replaced Freed, so to speak, And because Strider's back, right? And now you got those two guys. Schrellenbach's the third found guy, and now AJ is putting it together. And so when all these guys come back, you're going to have – when you get Profar back for the stretch run, and playoffs or not, the stretch run, and Acuna's back, you got Eli White and Verdugo that you can give these guys off days. You can give these guys pinch hit at bats. You know, Nick Allen is probably going to be your starting shortstop moving forward unless there's a trade that happens at the deadline that gives you a guy you're going to have for the next 3 to 4 years. But that's probably going to be it until Nacho gets here. You're creating depth.
Mm.
And that is what you have. I mean, God, I don't want this to happen. But if I have to, I think RC could play third base if he had to come in and play some defense. Mm. Now, I don't want it. No. Just hear me out, though. If I needed him, if Riley needed an off day an upset stomach, yeah, it's not a long term, but it's just like a depth thing. I think he could do it. The thing is you hope that this creates depth for Allie, to your point, when you get healthy in June, July, August, September, to make a run.
Yeah. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing the rare 850 edition of Mic'd Up. Today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Now, I said a minute ago, I don't know what you call this, but it's an ongoing... It's not a reality show because it's not on TV, but I've been following this guy on social media, and I want to, quote unquote, as the children say, put you on, okay? And shout out to Dylan, all right? I want to put you on. He's a youth. I think that I'm saying that right. I'd like to put you on.
Perfect usage. Perfect.
Yeah, okay, so let me – I want to play this cut of this guy. Now, the social media handle he has on Instagram is sailing_with_Phoenix. Phoenix is the name of his cat. All right, his name is Oliver, if I'm saying this right, Widger?
That it looks correct.
Widger, okay. Oliver Widger. Now, he doesn't, like, he's just talking to himself most of the time, so it's not like he's saying, I'm Oliver Widger. You don't really know how to say it. But I want to let you guys in on one of the first videos I watched this guy. This is a couple of weeks ago, and I tuned in, and it was kind of going viral at the time. When he played this video, I think he had somewhere around 30,000 followers.
My name is Oliver. I work a corporate job at a tire shop. I absolutely hate this life. Yeah, I'm going to buy a sailboat, and I'm going to sail around the world for the rest of my life until I die.
So that is Oliver, and he's in his car. And again, he posts that video, 6 months ago. But at the time I watched it, like 35,000 followers. I sent it to my wife. I was like, check this guy out. He's about to push off from the West Coast, and he's sailing to Hawaii by himself with his cat. So I have not been able to look away from this guy. Again, sailing_with_Phoenix. He is now, guys, on day 13, and it is happening right now. He is keeping us updated in the loop as to whether or not he can live out his dream, quit his job at Discount Tire, buy a sailboat, and make it all the way to Hawaii.
That's incredible.
What where's the cat litter box at?
I don't know. Someone on the boat. I don't know.
I mean, it's sailboats. There's not a lot of room, right?
Yeah.
Is it one of these sailboats?
I don't know what his square
footage is. You think he's got the quarters? You know, like he can go down? Like
No. It doesn't look like that at all.
He's got
it's a smaller boat.
It's a small boat. He's definitely got an indoor thing. But some of the funniest stuff that you wouldn't even think would be a huge part of this entire saga. The other day, he found what he was calling a fly, which ended up being kind of a moth. But he was so dumbfounded by the fact that there was a moth on the boat. He was like, dude, I haven't seen a bug in like over a week. He was like, check this thing out. He's got this funny, goofy kind of laugh to him, man. He's just a normal dude that decided he was going to sail. And it is so fun to watch this guy.
What do you think he's eating? What is he eating? Is he like, did he like buy cans of tuna or something?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that.
Or did he pack?
It looks like he's had some canned spam and things like that on the boat.
He's got some pirate booty here.
Pirate booty, yeah, Paul's. The white cheddar version, yeah, for sure.
Oh, I thought he. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very appropriate for sailing.
It really is.
You got to go check this guy's videos, and he's doing such a good job. He's not like an influencer. He's just like, man, look, I'm just going to update you guys on a daily basis of what's going on. He actually, just yesterday launched some merch.
That's my question now. What's his, like, because if you cash in your 401k for a stunt like this, when you get to Hawaii, what then?
He said he's going to sail for the rest of his life. That's what he says. He's going to sail for the rest of his life. And I think what happened is with the merch, I think somebody was like, and by the way, ding, I do have to highlight this. Yesterday, he got to 1 million followers.
It better
so start. He is going absolutely viral. He got to 1 million followers yesterday. And when you look at what's going on with him, really, really cool stuff, man. So check that out, Sailing _ with Phoenix.
Yeah, it looks – so the NFL is doing the international game announcement.
Yes,
and
right now.
I have told you guys that I think that I know that we are going to be in one of these games because I think that we're going to be playing the Colts in Berlin, and they are about to announce it now. And I think we got a second here. If they'll go ahead and do it.
I was going to say.
Show it.
It's a
– there it is. So November 9th, it'll be week 10, we will play the Colts in Berlin.
Guten Morgen, everybody.
9:30 a.m. on the NFL Network. And due to the news recently that Rich Eisen might be going to ESPN, maybe he won't have to do the play-by-play. Or just listen to Wes Durham and Dave Archer.
Yeah, Dylan, you got some sound for us?
Wach auf, Deutschland.
Yeah, that means wake up, Germany.
You're going to have to learn that, Bo.
My Hof.
Wach auf, Deutschland.
One more time, Dylan.
Wach auf, Deutschland.
My Hof, Deutschland.
Did you slow that down?
Deutschland.
Yeah, why does she sound so seductive?
Mike Hof, Deutschland.
So when you actually record it, and just real quick, when you actually record it in Google Translate, if you press it once, it'll say it at regular speed, which is what you heard the first time. You press it again, it'll slow it down for you. Be like, all right, here. Obviously, you didn't understand the first time, so I'll slow it down for you.
Google. Do it one more again.
All right, here we go. Hold on. Here's the top one. Here's the first one.
Wach auf, Deutschland.
And then slow down one.
Wach auf, Deutschland.
Yeah, that might have been.
Wach auf, Deutschland.
Yeah. Done.
We got to go to break, man. The Steakhouse is coming up next. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing steakhouses now until tomorrow. Make sure you
stay cool, Atlanta. Wach auf, Deutschland.